Hello, Kobe Camilo Podcast. Episode 65 with Alif, the rapper, musician, gamer, creator.
Yeah, Alif, aka Alif, spoke about his fears, his insecurities,
his childhood, and what it feels like to be Alif, and bagel, and appreciate the little things. And how does like work with Fox? How does like working with Gene Hackman? This Way Out Records.
And his career in the music industry and why he chose to write Korean songs nowadays instead of English.
Enjoy the podcast. Malfico Sanya.
This is Hello Hello Kopi Camilo Podcast. With one and only Alif. Damn, bro.
Yeah.
For the listeners who don't already know who you are, which most of the people do, how would you describe yourself and who are you? Who is Alif?
A man of a lot of things, I would say. I like to make music. I would call myself a huge gamer too. Yeah, like I just do what
you love music. That's for sure, right?
I do love music. I mean, right. It's a part of my hobby. It's a part of my job.
So music, rapping, songwriting,
singing.
So yeah. When did you discover that you like these? Was it encouraged by your family members?
No, I don't know. I think I just kind of grew up with it because I remember back then, me growing up, listening to hip hop music, especially of my brother yesterday. Ever since from that, I'm like, okay, this is something cool. Like, I want to do this when I grow up too. So when I was 13, I decided to do the same thing. Like
13?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, I've been using the same as laptop, same as Fruity Loops, and up until now, that's for sure.
Okay, how does it feel like to be you, man? Like deep inside, like, I mean, as a child, growing up.
Growing up, I think like I had a hard time growing up because me being this, I don't get to be like other child. You know? I mean, I do have, you know, I'm lucky enough to meet some friends even though when I was little that weren't scared of me, but in a bigger world, I feel scared. I feel small because I felt small because there were a lot of kids who were looking at me. They were teasing, they were fucking bullying, even back in school. Back in secondary, I'm lucky enough that everything is going well, my life. Now, I'm not saying fully going well, but shit does happen back in school. But yeah, like, that's me. Up until now, I am terrified of the world. Just not because of what people say about me, but more of what people think of me, and like how people see me as a person.
How different do you feel like the treatment was as early as a kid?
As a
child, yeah.
Like
primary school, secondary school.
imagine going to you know, moving out, because we have to be. I'm gonna be real with you. I grew up. My dad wasn't around when I was growing up. You know, he was, you know, doing other things, you know. And my mom was the only one who was just taking care of us, you know, because, you know, he's busy fucking around and shit. Yeah, I got to be real with you. and we had to move places. And for me to make friends, so I had to start over again and again and again. I remember one time, you know, I'm just trying to make more friends, and I started crying because I told my mom, like, I'm going to go down there, you know, I'm going to go chill with my friends. And she's like, who are your friends? And I cried because I know, I realized I have none. So I'm sure, what can I do? So, but yeah, those are the things.
Were you the only kid growing, or the only child growing up? Yes. You're close with cousins or
even with my cousins, I have to be honest with you. I do know them. I don't hate them, but I am not close like how the other cousins are. Like every time you go back to Raya, you can see them like playing around, chilling around, and I'm that type of dude. I would just like sit all the way in the back, and I'm just like, it's not that I'm not giving a shit. It's just that even with my cousins, also I feel I'm not in the right spot.
Right.
Get what I mean? It's not I'm hating on them. It's just yourself, you know.
I mean, you just don't feel like you fit in, right?
I don't feel like I'm
there's no point of forcing it.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want them to think I'm arrogant. I'm not arrogant. Mm-hmm. I'm just a very quiet, shy, not very talkative. My cousins, that's that. Yeah.
So if you say like you're in your own world, you're not bored. You're not looking for attention or anything. Yeah. You're fine just the way you are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How does music help in the beginning before you would discover it though? Like 13 to 15, for example, like you were a big fan of Joe Frizzo, right? You look up to them. You went to the barber, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I went to talk the barber. To them. Yeah. How did you know about that?
Right. This is not war.
Man, like, yeah, back then, I would go to Joe's barber most of the time. My brother, like, you know, they're going to my brother, like, let's go to Joe. He just opened up a barber. It looks so cool. And he has that one cool ass BMX looking bike. And I'm like, I wanted to see that too. And then I remember back then when Joe had this whole hip hop in Asia going on. Mm-hmm. So he had like this opening thingy, like, watch it with him. So I went there to go and watch it because I have to be honest, I am a huge fan of the Malaysian hip-hop community. And before all of this happened, I was just there listening to music. I was there. I wasn't even writing anything. 13, I was just busy producing, just like for fun. Like, oh, because, you know, you have a couple of songs you just want to fuck with. And it's pretty much it. That's the thing before I got discovered by Jin, the man himself.
Mm-hmm. Jin had me.
Yeah, I was just playing around with the sounds, that's that.
Yeah.
I decided to write when I was 14.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, growing up, coming from a Malay family, right?
Yeah.
I guess you speak Malay at home.
Yeah, I do.
Right. I was just curious, like, how did your American accent, English, how did all this accent form?
I don't know, bro. Like, for real, I think it's hip-hop music and SpongeBob. Yeah. I have to be like, yo, salute to SpongeBob, you know, for, you know, teaching me English and shit. I didn't regret any single second of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, cool. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that moment when you decided to go on Fruity Loops. And,
yeah.
How was the process? Because I bet you crack the software, right?
Bro, I couldn't afford for shit. I was 13.
So, yeah, how did you crack it and how did you figure it out? Because I think, oh no, it was during YouTube days already.
Yeah.
2013, 2012.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But It's not that hard. I mean, you already, you know, we're already talking about it. So if Fruity Loops is watching this, though, I'm sorry. But like, it's not that hard because they came with instructions. So when you download the zip file, so in there, there's like this folder. They'll show you the instructions on how to download it, how to put it inside your laptop, and I just followed the instructions.
Is there a downside to the cracked version?
I use a whole lot of torrents, and back then they have a lot of torrent like websites, but now they took down the websites, and now they have a lot of this WinRAR zip file websites, you know, download, I forgot, file share,
mm-hmm.
and all of that stuff to download this whole thing, man. So I started with Fruity Loop, so it was
because I've seen easier. The interfaces, and I hung out with Yoni before he blew up.
Uh-huh.
He was like tweaking vocals on it easily. Just like that. Like, wow. It's just so much easier than Ableton, to be honest.
For me, sometimes I do use the autotune.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the time, yeah.
Is it a preset? Is it a plugin?
It's a stock plugin.
Stock plugin.
From Fruity Loops itself. Jeez. So it's 10 times better than other autotune softwares, because I know how to work on it. Like other autotune softwares, man, I don't know how to work on it.
Yeah.
But if you give me, I think I can figure it out. That's for sure. Yeah.
Cool. And then you went on open mics, right?
Yeah, I went to the open mic.
That was the early stage.
Yeah.
That was the moment when. How did it feel back then?
Dude, it was scary, bro. Like me knowing that how terrified I am with the world and having to face. I think that as a challenge, you know, back then where I just wanna be out there. And I told my friend, but he couldn't make it, Khalif. Yeah, and I just decided to try it, like, why not, you know? Just an open mic, it's not a contest or whatever. So I went there, nervously waiting on the side, like, when is my part? I remember that during that time there was Ichal Mosh and Garrett.
Damn.
So I knew Garp back when I was 13 or 14 too. Yeah. So that was a long time ago. But I don't really hang out because, you know, he lives all the way in Kapong and I'm like right here. But like, yeah, that was a moment for me, because I never thought I could do it, you know, like I never thought it would be that hard, but it is very hard though. It was very hard for me. Yeah, on the second verse, I fuck up the whole second verse. I forgot and started freestyling, but thank God it makes sense. And there was a lot of people down there. There was Fire Frequency, there was Warriors in that time. They be booming as hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, these, we talking about big names over there, and they just watching, and you're just there like,
Was this a competition?
No, it's not really a competition. It's just an open mic. You know, you can just sign up and then, you know, be a part of it. You know, damn, show what you got. I went back home. Next thing you know, Jin texts me on Facebook, and he's like, "Hey, dude, you want to get an album done?" So I don't know, that was a deal. Oh. I thought he was just like, "Hey, let's try to make some music." And I was happy enough to know that, "Hey, let's make some fucking music." And then finding out that Jin started this label because of me, and I feel like I owe him a lot, though. Mm. That's for sure.
Well, how did it felt like in that moment when he texted you? And also, how do you, were you confused like, "Oh shit"? Because, like, I mean, have you seen Justin Bieber's Never Say Never?
No.
I mean, the documentary.
No, I watched the movie, The Karate Kid, but not the
documentary. Oh, okay. So the documentary, I mean, back then it was 2011 or something. And it mentioned that when Justin met Scooter Braun, the mom was, like, hesitant to trust
Scooter,
yeah. So I don't know if you felt that, or your family felt that, or it was just you alone. It was your own decision.
I mean, my brother.
Your brother. Okay.
My brother Shata, he was always there to bring me up, then to see Jin. I moved the mic way too far. I'm just like zoning out.
Okay.
So like, he brought me up to see Jin. And you know, to work things out, to understand what's going on with all this whole thing. And then Jin said, like, I want him to, you know, he want to start off a deal, you know, and he was going to start a label. I thought it was a deal, just a deal, because I was a young kid. I don't know shit about this whole music industry. And then, you know, sign out contracts, boom, This Way Up happens. And yeah, it was my brother, my mom and dad, back when I was in school, they weren't really supportive about it, but I know that this is going to be my future, so I have to make them trust me, which is the hardest thing, because I have to keep on doing it and doing it and doing it, and yeah, this is where I am now, you can say.
I guess, yeah. Also, big shout out to your brother, man.
Big shout out to my brother. Shout out to my brother, another brother too, Shamil.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that brought me out, you know, to my first ever like event. So it was funny. It was like October Tweet Fest. I think that was back in 2014. It's like a Twitter festival that happened in Sha'alam, and that was a time. I met Joe, Sona, and Ultimate all together. So I was like, what the fuck? This was way before the barbershop. Yeah, and I was lucky, bro. I was fucking lucky, because I remember that time. Everyone was just like, you know, going around Joe and Sona, and they were trying to take a photo, and I'm like right behind, knowing I'm so small. And I was like sad, like couldn't, you know, take a photo. So I'm like, I told my brother, you know what? It's okay. Let's just go back home. And then,
I can't imagine this one.
Yeah.
I wish we could go back in time.
Like, and then David T, he came up to me like, "Hey, bro," and I'm like, "Hi, do you want to take a photo with Joe?" And I was like, "What are the odds?" I'm like, "All right." Like, I mean, I would love to, but you know. And then I was damn excited. He brought me to Joe. And Joe saw me, and then Joe was just like, "Hey, dude, you want to sit down and eat with us too?" And I'm like, "I hate the show." And I was like the only kid that was eating with Joe and Sona and all that. So I was like, damn, I got so lucky on that day. That's for sure.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. And then, yeah, signed the deal. And then that moment when, I guess there's a lot of other things happen in between.
Yeah.
The preparation to make the brand, to make you who you are as a rapper, right?
Yeah.
How do you came up with that name, Alias?
I don't know, it's just fucking stupid. I was started up. I have to be honest, like, I live, Alias. I think it's fucking ridiculous, but I'm kind of stuck with it now. I used to be known as Phase, like P-H-A-Z-E, wow, because of the levels I'm trying to get, phases, mm-hmm, and the phase. Mm. So I think like that name makes more sense, but I needed something more closer to my name. So Alias was one of it, which I fucking hate up until now. I wish I could change it, but like,
whoa.
But like, yeah, I'm kind of stuck with it. So Alias means, you know, like an airplane dropping out like supplies. So mm, I'm the airplane to drop all this music. So
damn. Okay. Shit. And then the moment when you agreed with the release way up.
Yeah.
Right. You guys made a contract, mm-hmm, and then what made Jin decided to go for Fox, like to talk to Fox to help you, or you know, how did that whole collaboration came about?
Oh, Jin was just talking about Fox though, like
all the way, like
yeah, we just like, hey, there's a Singaporean producer I think you should work with. I think his name is Fox, and I think he's very interested to work with. And I told him like, why don't we give it a try, you know? And Fox, I'm thankful that I met Fox, because he taught me a lot about, not just about making music, you know, and just about understanding yourself as a person to write music. You know, I was learning a lot with Fox, and yeah, he taught me a lot of shit in terms of, you know, how's your day today? Like, I rarely ask myself that, you know, like, how's my day today? You know, like, everything was fucked. But with him, like, I realized there are a lot of things going on around me. And that's how this whole Bagel EP happened, you know, like all of those are real, like things that I the things that I would are real. And yeah, working with Fox is very, very fast and very, very easy to work with, because you know, we have the chemistry, and he understands me. I understand what he's trying to help me out with the whole thing, and I understand him. And everything worked out very well. That's for sure.
How did that process go about? As in, how many beats did he show to you, or how many? How do you guys replicate beats?
He don't show me beats. We just like, he sat in the studio and just like, all right, let's get this done. So how are you feeling today? I'm feeling a little bit sad. Fucking play the sad chord. I'm like, okay, not this sad, maybe this type of vibe. You know, I told him like how the day went. He's like, oh, okay, alright. So the first song is called Tinder, but it's not out on the
album.
EP,
yeah,
on the album, and that was the trial, the first song that we ever made together. And you know, we just want to understand each other. And he, you know, when he made that song, it was very catchy, and I love it, and he loved it too. And we just decided to work on songs. We don't even plan to do a whole EP or something. We just want to work on songs. And then after working with him for a while, turns out to be a whole EP, like 1 week, one song. So like, oh, they got five. We actually had seven. But I don't know what happened to the other one. I think we just put it aside. Mm-hmm. Then we took the fives and made it into an EP, bro. Yeah. Working with him is just, it's like magic. That's for sure. Because he just went to the studio, asked me how I feel. Like, what did you eat today? Like, what your mom would normally ask you. And made it into a song. And that happened. That's Fox for me.
Damn, he must have really understand the language to translate the human emotion into music, yeah, right? That hit song, what was it called?
Appreciate
came out way towards the end.
Yeah, so that was the last song.
Imagine Appreciate didn't exist, bro.
I mean, we wouldn't have Bagel, that's for sure. Shit. We might have Bagel, but it's not gonna be Bagel without Appreciate, that's for sure. And it's so funny, like during the last session, which is Appreciate, we knew that this is gonna be the one. So it's like, because we now we're both fully understand each other and like, okay, I think we got this solid now. And right after Appreciate, we want to work on more songs, but we stopped there. And I'm like, we were like, you know what? Let's just put this 5 songs out first in the EP. And boom, this fucking happened. Like, I got the whole physicals and all that stuff, which is fucking cool. Never thought I would have it.
Yeah. And you also build a name for yourself, and everything just went skyrocket. Way up, right? It's this just way up, yeah. And how do you feel about that, man? How do you feel about the whole, the flip, the change? Was it predictable? Do you see it coming?
No, I don't see it coming. I was just there. When we did the launch, I said to myself, like, nah, there's only gonna be like at least 20 people coming in. Like, they don't really like me. They don't really listen to my songs. So that's up until now. They're like, growing up, you know, having all those background, and it carries up until now. So during the launch, I was, you know, overthinking. Like, it's only gonna be 20, 30 people, blah blah blah, and no one's gonna come. And next thing, went out the room, I saw like a line and like a whole lot of people. I'm like, fuck my life, bro. What should I do? it was fucking crazy because I never thought that would happen, you know? Like, especially in front of my mom. She was there and like, she thought, like, you know, I want to go and come and check out my son's concert and stuff. And the room was packed. She was like happy about it. I don't know. I wouldn't say she thought I wouldn't make it, but you know, she wanted me to have a better job instead of being a musician. But yeah. I guess that's me. That's for sure. How did you know more about me than me myself?
No, because I usually do research for the interview, and I actually try to understand. How was the music video like, shooting that?
Shout out to Hirashi. It was fun. Yeah, we just wanted to give it a shot with Rashila, and he made a very great job with the music video. Like, we don't want it to be very high end, very classy, you know, that shit. We just want it, since the whole album is, you know, is very personal to me. I feel like the music video has to be real about it too, you know, like who's the people that I'm around with, who are the people I'm around with, and like. When if you watch the video, I have a lot of my friends. I invite a couple of people, but the one that only came out just Sana, and like tens of my Kajang boys, and only one Sana there. But it's quite cool to see that happen. And up until now, people still listen to that song. Yeah. Not me though. Yeah. I have to work on more things.
I mean, okay, and then after that, you went on tour.
I went on tour with Zamira and Alex.
Yeah, how was that experience? Like, how was it? Was it Indonesia?
China, Macau, Thailand, and Singapore.
China, Macau, Thailand. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, it must
We're
be
supposed
fun.
To go to Hong Kong, but I don't know, maybe Hong Kong is too expensive.
Right.
So I had to cancel that.
How was that experience like, man?
China was crazy. China was huge as fuck, bro. And like, we stopped at Beijing, then a whole lot of places. Like, I thought China would just like Beijing, Shanghai, like those are the main cities. Mm-hmm. But I went to like Xi'an. So basically, there's like a small town, and right behind it is like the Mount Everest.
Yeah.
So I was just like, wait, hold up, isn't that like Mount Everest, like a big ass mountain? Dude, it was like hot in Beijing that you went there. It's like fucking, it's not even the Mount Everest, it's just like Xi'an is just like a small town, but it's very cool. And yeah, we went there, just like fucking up things in Shanghai. Just this one Nigerian dude came up to us and was like, weed hashish coke. I was like, yo, I'm terrified. Why would you ask someone on the street like weed hashish or coke? And I'm like, I don't do none of that, bro. Nuh-uh, I'm not gonna touch any of them. But yeah, it was one of those. And Macau was crazy. Macau was very fun. It's like a small Las Vegas, so you can see like a bunch of casinos over there. And you have, this is like Hong Kong, so you have like houses, and then on the roof you can see people chill and watch a TV. So I remember the event space was like on this floor, and downstairs is just like someone else's house. And It was like on a rooftop, and then these two uncles, and one of the Chinese uncles was just wearing like a red underwear, watching a TV with his friends. And then we came out, and he was just like, and he started watching TV again. And it was like, and it's like briefs and shit. And I'm like, yo, that is pretty chill, bro. I want to fucking live here. To me, my favorite place was Macau. Macau was crazy.
And then you got close with Zamira, right? And she's very supportive of you, and I've witnessed firsthand that how she put you first and try to encourage you to be the person that you are deep inside, that trying to get that gem out of you, you know what I mean? And how was your relationship like with her?
Man, me and Zamira, like, she's like the sister I never had. And
shout out Zamira. Shout out Subang.
Love you, sis. Thank you. And yeah, like, not just Zamira, even Alex too. When we were in China, they were very supportive, because I was going through shit, and I was like crying and all that, and they're like, they were always there for me. And Zamira, up until now, she still checks up on me and just like, hey, how you doing? Feet today? How you feeling today? And I went to see her, and I would just let her know how I feel. And, you know, she would do the things that you said. And, you know, trying to comfort me up, and like, trying to bring me out of that, you know, place. Because, I think, she's like one of the cool sisters I never had, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then she also recently used your beat For a award show.
Yeah, right? Award show. I was like, this is gonna boom. And I'm like, okay, this, because I know it's Zamira, and everyone loves Zamira. And like, she liked one of those beats, and those beats were Itla, the one that you heard in the award show. So we worked on that. Went to the studio. And she said she wanted to record this song without her saying that this is gonna be for like the award show or whatever. So I'm like, okay, let's just work on it. Let's just writing a song, you know, just do all that work. She's like, and we were both happy after listening to the whole thing, because I wanted to work on that beat itself, but then I couldn't do it. And to see her made it happen makes me very happy, because you can actually work on that, because I told myself, like, I can't work on this type of beat. She made it happen, so I was happy about that. And she said, back in the studio, she told me that this is gonna be like, might be the next single. So I was like, okay, because she's gonna want to work on songs.
That's how much she believed in you.
Yeah.
Right.
I heard my tag in a fucking Malaysian award show, and I was like, Asian girls love me, and I'm like, wait, that's my fucking name, bro. Wow. So to hear that happened, it's just crazy. Look, shout out Zamira, thank you for making it happen, that's for sure.
Yeah. In Singapore as well, I remember hanging out with you guys, and wow, the friendship that you guys have is magical, man. It's not none to be seen. You kind of see that. People don't know that. That's what I mean, you know? Yeah. Because it's not documented. You guys don't show it online, and it is real.
It is real. Yeah. I mean, for me, in terms of all those things, I feel like, you know, some things are better be private and not online, because, you know, you want to still be real with yourself and still be real with people, not just being up online and brag about things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah. How are things with your girl, man?
Things with my girl, I mean,
she's Singaporean, right?
She's Singaporean. Cool. I think I haven't seen her. I think last time I seen her, like, was the last 2 months. Was it August or September? But I did see her recently. She's doing great. She's, you know, she has a job, now continuing her studies again this October. And yeah, it just distance, but there's nothing much about the distance, you know, as long as you have the trust, you're cool with it, and that's for sure.
Shout out to your girlfriend. If you were not a rapper, bro, what would you be?
I would be a chef, bro.
Yeah.
Even though I don't really know how to cook, but like, I would cook the fuck out of everyone. I'm like, make this fucking happen. I would be a chef and an astronaut. I've always
chef and an astronaut. It's like cooking on planet Mars.
Dude, imagine that would be so, like, you watch Matt Damon movie, right? The one he lived on Mars, and I'm like, wow, that's fucking cool. I wanna do that. Or artists, they have a lot of this very smooth R&B, the soulful sound, which is very me. Like, that's what I listen to. I don't listen to hip hop every fucking day. That's but I do listen to that every day. And yeah, I just want to give it a try. I just want to know what I can come up with. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to copy them, but I do love that sound, and I just want to make it happen too. That's that. I just can't tell you, I'm inspired by it. Look.
Yeah, I mean, your fans loved it, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Like, I thought, I posted something about one of the songs. Mm-hmm. It's Pantone blue thingy.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday, and I deleted it at first. I told my girlfriend, "Man, this is not gonna work. I don't really like the chorus."
Oh, right.
But you know, at 8 p.m., I decided to upload it again. Just like, you know what, fuck it, just leave it over here. And, you know, if people like it, they like gonna like it. If they don't, then I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It turns out everyone, when I woke up this morning, everyone was like, "Yo, this is nice." And I'm like, "Oh shit, I never thought it would be this nice." Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, I'm going for that direction. I think I just want to be real myself, lah. I mean, I still love hip hop. I still do a whole lot of hip hop music, but
you're more of an R&B.
More of an R&B dude, mm-hmm. And I can't run away from that till I make it happen.
What do you think of the hip hop scene in KL, in Malaysia right now?
I mean, it's
how
booming.
How did it change? Yeah, I mean, it boomed, and with the whole Namblas Maris thing. Yeah. And yeah, what do you think of it? Like, is it gonna go down? I mean, your prediction as Alice.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, everyone's trying to be a rapper now. That's for sure. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Mm. I'm not saying it's a good thing either. Like, I just want to know. Because back then, there weren't a lot of rappers like how it is right now. I mean, we do have a lot, you know, most of them underground, and the one stays over there. The big names are there. Like, the underground was a lot too. And now you have a lot of fucking new fucking faces. You know, you have like 13-year-old kids now too doing rap. I wasn't doing rap when I was that age. Mm. And I see a whole lot of potential. I see a whole lot of, you know, energy, you know, all this dreams they're trying to capture, but now it's hard to predict because it's a trend. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, like I said earlier, not a bad thing or a good thing, but what's the quality, you know, if 10 people sound the same. Yeah. I mean, I have to be real, like I do listen to some of the songs, I'm not hating, but 10 of those songs, 10 of these people set the same fucking line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, but that is hip hop, you know, like that's the thing that we relate to or something. But that's that about the Malaysian hip hop culture. It's growing very huge. If you go to like Instagram, you see a lot of these pages helping out with this new upcoming artists, fresh faces and all that. But what if this whole hip hop goes away? Will they go away too, or would they just stay there and still make hip hop because of it's hip hop, or because it's a trend? Because right now hip hop is like booming everywhere. If you listen to a pop song right now, you can easily hear this 140 BPM type of beat, you know, with the trap kicks and shit, like Ariana Grande and all this, like pop artists, they're doing hip hop shit too. But what if it goes away? Like what are these people gonna do with it? Like, are you still gonna make hip hop music, or are you just gonna go away and write the other trend? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And for me as a person, like I love making hip hop music, but I wanna be the first guy who discovered other songs too and make it happen. So that's why I came out with Seagull also, because I realized there's not a lot of those dark mellow R&B in Malaysia. So I wanted to, you know, give it a try, and I'm glad that happened. I just want to see difference, you know, like, you know, being around these like big names, being around these musicians, I understand more about music now, and just not about making the numbers. Like, for me, fuck the numbers and shit, but for me, my whole goal before I even got into the label, I've always wanted to change the Malaysian sounds just back then.
Yeah.
Because, dude, like, if you go to, like, all these Malaysian radio stations, bro, they keep on playing the same shit. It's corny bullshit, bro. I can't stand it. I don't know. But, yeah. Just always keep on trying. That's for sure.
And then you as a music maker, right? you make beats. And there's a saying, like, there are a lot of beat makers, there are not enough producers, right? Mm-hmm. What are the differences between a beat maker and a producer?
So, beat maker, basically, for me, the way I see it, beatmaker is just someone who just sits at home or in the studio making a beat, but producer has just a lot of this, like, okay, this should be it. Producer is like the guy that's gonna make it happen, you know. He's gonna look at these things and like, okay, this doesn't feel right. Beatmaker is just like, okay, this doesn't feel right, but I'm gonna arrange it, you know, make it more these sounds. But producer brings you more of the seriousness into it, you know, like the whole direction you're trying to put into, like, okay, we have this sound, how are we gonna make sure it stays the same or going to that direction? That's for me a producer. It's like making a movie, you see the whole thing going on, what's happened, how it's gonna end, how it's gonna go, how it's gonna start, and every single tiny bit of it. Like when in terms of making beat, you have a beat maker and you have a producer with you. Okay, beat maker's making this type of way, and producer is gonna be like, okay, why don't we make it like this, and let's make it like that. To me, that is a producer lah. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess not enough people putting themselves in fully for the music.
For me, that's the way I see it. Like, too many beat makers. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have a lot of fucking beat makers on YouTube, mm-hmm. but no one's giving it the direction to it.
Yeah.
Like, you can just go anywhere, but you have a producer with you. Okay, we're gonna have this artist make this fucking happen. To me, that is a producer work. Mm-hmm. To me, that producers are looking at those things. Mm-hmm. You know, beat makers are just about this shit bangs. Yeah. Producer was gonna be about, okay, what is this about? What is, is it going to bang? Is it? I think they are more serious about it, because beat makers is like, okay, I made a fucking beat, I just put it out. But I'm not hating on beat makers. I'm not trying to look down on them. I've worked with a lot of amazing beat makers. It's just that we need a producer still. You can have a beat maker make you a beat or send you a beat. But what's next after?
For those who are just starting out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're at the same age as you.
Yeah.
And but they don't know shit. They just want to start out. After listening to this, they manage to crack a free loop, right? And then they want to get started. Not necessarily hip hop. Just getting started as a singer.
Yeah.
As an R&B artist or a rapper, right? What would your advice be? Like, steal beats, try to replicate them, or make your own beats? Because you'd have no experience. How would you do it? Like,
if they want to work on a beat or...
Work on a song as an artist, as a singer.
Right now, I have to be honest, up until now, I still go to YouTube and look up for beats. Sometimes you just go up to YouTube and just like, beats to listen to when you're like tired, like, you know, reading and shit.
Yeah.
You know, just music, bro. It could just be anything. You just can't write on anything. If you're a singer or a songwriter, you don't need someone to like fucking produce it for you. Like, not like, I'm not between me and Fox, it's a whole different process. But I'm talking in the sense of, you know, if you're alone right now, you don't need a producer. If you need it, then you go ahead. But if you just want to, you know, write things and want to let your feelings out and you find the right sound to it that relates to you, why don't you just give it a try? Like, and if you're a beat maker, you don't know how to do it, you can just go up on YouTube. That's how I learned back then. I don't go out to classes. I went out to YouTube and searched like people's beats, and not try to replicate them, but understanding their tempos, the BPM, understanding what snares, what kicks they're using, you know, is it the current sound, and, you know, learn how to tweak shit. And that's how I do it back then. Like, you don't have to stress it out like I have to go to class and shit. I feel like you don't need a fucking class to make music, bro. Like, music is all about you putting your feelings out and just making it happen. And don't stress out too much on the BPMs, don't stress out too much on the what sounds are you using. If you can make, if you know how to mix and master that shit, if it sounds nice, it sounds nice to you. That's for sure.
Where do one learn the skill of producing, though? YouTube?
Well,
like, how do you master, how for yourself, how do you master Fruity Loops?
How do I master Fruity Loops? It's all through YouTube, bro.
Yeah.
And some of them I even had to understand it myself. Like, I have to click one of these buttons, like, what does this do, what does this do, what does this do? Then now I think I kind of figure out, I have to be honest, only 20% of it. Yeah. Like, it's a whole lot of fucking things, a whole lot of presets, a whole lot of buttons that, you know, unless you're an engineer, you probably understand that, but you don't really use all of those buttons, all of these things, unless you really need it. So for me, I feel like I only understand 20% of it, you know. And recently, I just discovered how to mix my vocals perfectly. Yeah, after like what, 13, 14, 15, yeah, after those years, now I understand like, oh, so, because I went to Ego's place, admin, studio, and he said my vocals are, he didn't say it's weird, but it's mixed without having to mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So all he did was just like tweak a little and then like, okay, we're set. Like, wow, this is not hard at all. So I remember that, I do remember that thing. I went back home and did the same thing and then it sounded great. And I learned from other people too, that's for sure. You know, I go to the studio, people's studio, I ask them what software they're using, what plugins, what speakers, and people usually just write their song when they're in the studio or just like listen to the beat, and I would be doing the same thing too, but at the same time I would sit behind this the producer. I would just look like, okay, what software is he using, what is he doing with my vocals? I want to know what's happening with my shit too.
And then like what if in terms of singing and rapping, how does one improve? Because you started rapping,
yeah,
and then slowly you went into singing.
I don't know, I never like it until now. I don't really like how I sing, but for me, okay, I've always made music for me to listen before anyone else. So I decided to, you know, if I could give it a try, you know, why not fucking sing? And my girlfriend encouraged me a lot on singing, like, hey, I know you can sing, why don't you just fucking try it out? And I'm like, maybe not, fuck this shit, but you know, I'm just gonna make a song for you and then you listen to it. And she's like, okay. And she said, I sounded great. In terms of rapping is just about practicing, I guess. Practicing flow, listen to a whole lot of rap music, whether it feels right or not, just go ahead, you know, and then go through like these artists punya lyrics, you just understand what they're saying, you know, catch some slangs over there if you wanna sound like them, you know. That's what I did when I was a kid, and yeah, it's a learning process.
How do you sharpen up the saw, the axe?
When it comes to rapping, I don't give a shit though. I don't give a shit about bars. Okay, imagine like for me, you know, being a rapper for me is like, you know, you're talking to your best friends and you're just like menganjing. Like, you know how you like, that's why they have wordplays, they have like all the syllables, blah 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 blah, rhymes and all of that flows. So for me, when in terms of rapping, I feel like I'm writing to my best friends, like, I want to make fun of you, but yeah, this is like the bars that I'm gonna give you. So that's the way I see my rapping too. Like, if I want to come up with a, you know, punchline or whatever, like, I would write it like, I would think of my friend, like, what would I say to him that would make him mad but at the same time it's funny and he would laugh too, the type of shit.
So it's about wordplay,
but I don't know, this generation now, we don't really give a shit about that. You know, you just want to hear more melodies, more like, if you rap fast enough, then you'll go crazy.
Who do you look up to right now as a rapper?
I look up to a whole lot of Big Sean. I listen to a lot of Big Sean. Kyle, I do.
Super Duper Kyle.
Super Duper Kyle. But I don't know, ever since I met him, I don't listen to him
that much
anymore. Because I remember I went to see him. He was at Gyro. And I went to the room, this VIP room where they at, and I went to him, and I just want to say, like, you know, I acted more as a fan than the artist itself, because, you know, I look up to him so much, and he came back to me like, bro, he's not going to kill me or something, right? And he said it to me, and I'm like, bro, I'm not going to kill you, bro, I just want to say thank you, that's that.
Right.
So ever since from that, I know he was a dick, bro.
Dude, I have that same moment with Russ.
Oh shit!
Do you know Russ? R-U-S? Yeah, Russ. So I was at Good Vibes. I was up front.
Yeah.
I mean, at back end on the shaker's end.
Yeah.
The whole bodyguard came out.
Oh shit!
He just looked past me as I was a ghost.
Yeah.
He was like this much distance, man. It was just a matter of and like give me a handshake or maybe just a fist bump and I move on with her life. But no, dude. So I mean I couldn't understand, I can't understand, but I feel what you feel, man.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I understand because they're in a foreign-ass country. They don't know what the fuck this is. But for you as an artist, if someone come up to you, I understand you needed your space too. But if you can at least, like, in your situation, if he can at least reach his hand out back to you, that would be perfect enough, you know? You don't have to be more than that. So some artists could be a bunch of dicks, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Maybe their mental space are a little stressed out.
Yeah, they really... I mean,
I guess most of them, in my opinion, no judgment, but kind of judging in a way. Right? But I think they only come to Malaysia because of the money, though. Because there's a lot of fans here.
Yeah, they came... Like, for me, if you want to... I want to put it this way as an artist also. If you have fans listening to music, you want to come down just because you want to see your fans too. But at the same time, like I said, really can't be a dick, lah. Also, money. Because musicians, I have to be honest, we gotta be real with you, bro. Like, unless you're a big-ass name, then you gotta worry about shit. Like, for me, man, I'm still struggling. I have to be honest. People think I have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. Last month, I couldn't pay for my car for shit.
Damn.
There's some real shit that people don't know. Like, people see, like, on my Instagram, wearing all Raf Simons, V-Loans, and shit. But... That's the thing that I wanted, not I need, but I need to pay for my car that you guys don't know I couldn't pay for shit. I was that broke. But thank God, God gave me, you know, God put me back up on the ground back, you know, made me, you know, have a little bit of money and still trying to live, that's for sure.
You see yourself as making it bigger than you already are?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I've always visioned myself that way. I don't want just to be... Like Lady Gaga, you know, it's not about the fame, it's about the impact. It's like, I want to bring the impact. I want to be the. I don't want to be famous. I don't give a shit about that. What's that gonna make me, bro? What's that gonna give me? Yeah, probably exposures and all that bullshit. But I want to change people's life because I know no one had to grow up. No one had to grow up like this and having to face the world. It's just fucking scary. But if I can't do it. So for these people that be feeling or that's the same way as me, when they try it out, why the fuck not? You know what I'm saying? I vision myself like I'm right now performing in Coachella, even though I am not. I'm still in my room, I'm not getting a million views like other people, but I can feel that that's going to happen if I work hard enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's just so tired, bro, because I have to be real with you, like, making music in Malaysia is not as easy as you think unless you have the right people, the right connections, all that right things. It's gonna be easier for you. You have the money too, boom, easy, because you know you can pay for all that shit. Yeah, like, for me, thank God I have Jenna to help me out with this whole studio time, all this recording sessions, you know, because, you know, part of the label cuts and all that stuff. And if I was alone, bro, I couldn't even afford to buy like this. If Jin wasn't around, you know, with all this Way Up Records, I don't think I'd be making music anymore. Maybe I would just give up because I tried to look for a job even before I started making music, before I started, you know, getting signed with the label too. I get rejected by jobs. It's hard for me to get jobs. I went to Mid Valley, going to every single fucking store, one of the store. If I want to call you out right now, I can fucking call you out right now. Fucking just like looking at me like this and like, nah, you gotta go. Like, and I'm like, I haven't even passed my, and he's like, nah. Wow. I know why. And I went to one of the stores and turns out one of my homies worked out a week after.
Okay.
At the store where I was waiting there for 2 months, bro.
Wow.
So I feel like it's very unfair for me because I couldn't get a job neither.
Shit.
So that's a part of being ad-libs that people don't know. It's hard, for real.
I mean, that's real talk, you know. That is the truth. Like, sometimes you have dealt with cards that you don't really choose to deal with, you know, but you just have to. But then again, from outside perspective, not from a polished Instagram perspective, but from my perspective, I think you're doing something great for yourself, man.
Yeah, thank
like
you.
maybe you don't see it, maybe you need some encouragement.
Yeah.
If you need some encouragement, then let this be it. Like, I think you're gonna be big And I think I'm gonna be big, and I think you're gonna be big. we're both gonna be bigger than what we are. And when that time comes, we're gonna come back to this moment and we realize, like, damn, we have our insecurities, but we can put it aside for a moment and embrace our strength.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you have been given, bro, I think it's your gift. It's your uniqueness, and that's your. It is of spades, you know. Yeah. They don't have it. Yeah. They don't have that weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real talk, bro. Like, one thing that made me realize, one thing I learned about insecurity, people will get bored and tired of it when you're out there too much, you know, being sad. Because I had this conversation with my girlfriend. I was insecure. This was the past few days. I was going through some shit. And she's like, can you fucking stop complaining about it? I'm fucking bored and tired. When she said that, like, it hits me up, like, oh shit, people do get tired of you being insecure all the time, because they want to see you grow. They want to see you be a man. She fucking called me a man child, bro. I was like, I was hurt, but like, thanks for reminding, because I actually needed that, because to know that people can get tired of you because of how you are also is a very dangerous line. You know, you don't want to be too insecure. You don't want people to keep coming at you like, hey, everything's gonna be okay, because you yourself, you got to figure out what's going on with you. You just can't keep on, you know, waiting for someone to come at you like, hey, what's wrong? You got to know what's wrong with yourself first before anyone else, though. That's for real. Yeah, so when she said that, it opened up my mind. I'm like, I have to be a man for now. I'm 21 already. I figured, I mean, I'm no longer in high school. I'm not even in preschool, whatever. I'm not a man child. I have to prove it wrong to her now. Mm. And then the whole conversation just changed me, you know, since the whole talk.
The best part, man, best part is, like, you have gone through what you went through so far, and you're only 21.
Yeah.
You're only 21, bro. Some people are still figuring their shit out and getting stuck in, like, doing things that they don't want to do in college or universities or whatsoever, in, like, some political science shit, and they're not even liking that class. They're not even themselves. They're pretending to be what society wants them to be. Yeah. Oh, I'm all successful, you know? And you are here. You have lived. You've put up Bagel. Yeah. You've went on tours. Yeah. You've been with Jin. Whatever happens next, like your next album or whatsoever that you choose to do next, it's not gonna be a big deal. You've lived your life, you know? You're only 21.
Yeah. Like, but for me, I'm the whole opposite way. I mean, I love making music, but at the same time, I still wanna go to college and I wanna study, I wanna learn.
I mean, it's never too late for that.
It's never too late for that. So when you said that people went to college and being somebody that they don't wanna be, I think it's quite scary, isn't it? Like, you know, you don't know who's real and who's not. So I think I'm lucky enough to make music first before, you know, understand what the real life is all about. You know, going 9 to 5 or, you know, getting a degree, working, you know, getting a job and shit. Yeah,
you're being real, bro. That's the most important secret sauce.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself ever being in a movie? Ever?
Dude. I've always
dreamt of that.
Dreamt of that, and I've always wanted to, like, go to Japan and at least be one of the anime voices.
Ooh.
Yeah, just to be like the guy in the background, just to be the bring the emotions to the characters.
So you're big on anime.
I mean, you can say
now, right
that,
now. Yeah. I'll give you a break and I'll flip the script and let you ask me any question.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you're curious about, anything that keeps up in your head that you want to ask me, anything at all.
All right.
Go for it, man.
I do have a couple of questions. First,
sweet.
Why that mustache? I gotta know, bro. Ever since you got here, I'm like, what? Is that Milo? And I'm like, wait. Forgot you had a mustache now.
Yeah. Cause, like, I recently had, I was part of a character.
Oh, what?
I mean, I'm that's part of a short film, yeah. So the stash was in the middle, cause I had
like a fucking Hitler.
Like Hitler, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Shit, that's dope.
So yeah, so I was part of that, and then it grew, so I decided to leave it. But with the stash, I am thinking of, I'm thinking of keeping it as Hitler and making it me, in a way. Because I realize that no one is doing it.
Oh, right.
Okay, fine. Charlie Chaplin did it.
Yeah.
Hitler did it. And who's next? Milo Fico. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Okay. It's hard for me to grow a mustache up until now, especially on this part, because I like...
Oh my god, yeah. It's the opposite, man. Yeah. The middle is what matters, bro.
because it's like, I had like this operation, the surgery thing,
right.
So it was very hard for it to grow.
Yours is like empty and middle. Yeah. Yours is unique too.
Which is fucked up, sir, but you know what, I'll just keep it, I'll just wait for the right time for it to grow.
This is considered as a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's things for Malaysia? You know, the reaction or the take on podcasts from Malaysians. Though, do you think it's growing in Malaysia? Do you think, because I feel like it's rare to see someone in Malaysia to do podcasts.
Mm.
You know, it's very hard to see them doing it here. It's not like a huge thing yet.
Mm.
But are you sure that this is going? Are you the one that's gonna make it happen? To you know. In Malaysia to make it big, or you just want to be the one that's just, you know, just want to do a podcast in Malaysia,
mm-hmm.
just because.
Okay, I am actually a man of I'm a jack of many trades. Not all trades. I can't cook for shit, but yeah, I'm like a jack of many trades. I can't help myself from. Okay, I'm good with humans, right? I'm good in communicating, like talking in general. I've also in being involved with acting.
Yeah.
So I can act.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I was a videographer. I do videos for previously companies and also Jin. And right?
Yeah, with us too.
Yeah.
Sorry? With us too, way
up. For you guys, yeah, this way up. So that was to make a living and to understand the whole music industry. So I've always find my ways to go in. Doesn't matter what the tool is. I can be a cleaner as long as I know, oh, that's how they produce that beat. Okay, I was cleaning, you know? I was a videographer, but that doesn't mean that I am a videographer. I want to express myself as an artist. At the end of the day, I'll end up even making my own music, publishing my own EP, my own album. But that doesn't mean that I have to be a rapper or I have to be a singer for the rest of my life. I am what I am. I am Milo, and the podcast comes with it. The acting comes with it. The coffee. I'm also a barista. You know that, right?
I do.
Yeah, so... So all of that will make sense in the end, hopefully, as a brand, as a Helelo Kopi Kemilo coffee. But the dream would be just having coffee without... Right now, because I don't have a budget to carry like a mic stand all around, right? Imagine a studio where everything is set up, dual triple cameras, and then every person who comes in have a coffee and just talk about whatever you want. Like exactly like Joe Rogan. So the benchmark is Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh.
How I get there, I don't know, but I'm just gonna put it out there. Now that I'm doing it, let's say if I'm still doing it in 2 years, I'm pretty sure it's gonna go bigger than it is.
Yeah.
With the listeners, it's spiked up already. Even Genie Boy noticed me.
Oh, that's
so
dope.
so that shout out to Genie Boy.
Shout
right
out.
And I'm really grateful for that. And with podcasts, yeah, I'm doing it for fun, man. I like talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, if you don't do it in this format, people don't take it seriously. Yeah. Like, they'll be looking at their phone. Like, you know, when was the last time you have a conversation with someone this long without any interruption? People's attention span these days are very short, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's very fucking true.
So, I'm hoping that with this, I have practiced a longer extension span.
Yeah.
As well, I'm talking to interesting, passionate souls like yourself.
Yeah.
And then in the future, man, it's gonna open up more opportunities, bro. Like, that is the thing. I want the world. If the world would listen to this part, right?
Yeah.
I just want them to understand that I'm not just about the podcast. I'm not just about the video. I'm not just about the coffee. I'm not just about one thing. I'm about many things. And one day it will make sense. I'm not trying to be this, you know. I'm not trying to like tamak, I want to try everything, shit, I want to conquer the world. No, it's just like, I can't sit still doing one thing. I get bored. You know, I also get upset when people call me videographer.
Yeah.
I am not a videographer. I am recording you because I need that money, bro. You know, I need to survive as well. But if I can, at the end of the day, I want to be successful paid actor.
I want to
be successful producer, singer, songwriter, musician, all non-entertainment industry. I also want to start my own family. But I don't know. That's just a one in my head. And do you believe in the law of attraction, bro? Like, say things into belief. Like, you say things and then watch it grow into existence. I talked to Zamira about this, and she's a advocate. Yeah, she's an advocate. She believes in it wholeheartedly.
And I don't know about myself, but because, you know, I kept on telling myself, like, this shit's not going to work. So, I don't
know.
Yours
is the other way around.
I woke up and I'm like, fuck it.
I mean you gotta stay positive and optimistic about things. Yeah. I'm sure you will someday, man. There will be the light. Like you said, man, remember what you told me off camera, like someone who's like hating you and trying to put stuff on you and all that creepy stuff. Man, there's gonna be a lot of negative energy out there, but if you don't tap into that, just focus on yourself. It's about healing, man. The reason why you're negative, it's not because of you yourself, it's because you're hurt by people, by society, by outside negative source. If you don't channel to them anymore, if you just focus on positivity, if you try to get positivity from Zamira, try to get positivity from Jin, from me, from all the positive gurus on YouTube or whoever, they will not be able to reach you anymore, all these negative people who are trying to hurt you. So once you get once you're tuned into the positive energy, then you can manifest things the way you want it.
Hopefully, man, the universe agrees, man.
We don't know who's creating all this. I mean, okay, they call it God, right? But who's actually behind all this? Okay, one last shout out. I mean, one last advice from you, at least, to the people out there who's going through a tough time with insecurities, with going through probably the same or different scenarios like yours. Being different, being unique, having a different coming from a different background, being pushed on, being bullied. What would the advice be for
I want to be, you know, I don't want to be given the same fucking advice to, you know, every time I have to give an advice, I have to make it very, you know, I have to be careful with my words and shit. But for real, this time I'm gonna be real with you, since you allow me to curse and shit too. I'm cool with that. I would say, you know, if someone said it's gonna be okay to you, fuck them. If someone said it's gonna be, everything's gonna be alright to you, fuck them. I'm not saying don't hate on them. I'm not saying they're very nice of them, you know, to be there for you, because I've been in their position. Everyone's been telling me like, everything's gonna be okay, everything's gonna be alright. But you don't wanna hear that. You want someone to come to you like, fuck you, bro, you're gonna die anytime soon. Like, for me personally, I wanna hear someone to come at me like that, because that's the way I feel right now. And that's the only way that I can fix myself back. Not by telling me, hey, everything's gonna be okay. I don't want people to be, you know, I don't want people to feel pity about me. You know, I want people to just like, yeah, you know what, fuck you, you're not gonna make it. That's the thing that's gonna push me stronger.
The chip on their shoulder,
yeah, because when you said that, I'm gonna be pissed and I'm gonna be like, you know what, fuck you, I'm gonna do this shit right. And that's the only, like believe it or not, me and my girlfriend, we had a lot of these arguments, which I realize every time she gets mad at me, that's the thing I needed. Not the, hey, you're gonna be okay, even though I was crying. She would, every time I cried or just insecure, she would get mad at me. And I'm like, I understand why. Because even myself, I am tired of being insecure. I'm tired of being, you know, called names. You know, I'm at this position now where you want to say shit to me, like on social media, I don't give a fuck. Unless you say it in my face, then you know what's going to happen, real talk. And but like, for me now, I needed that drive. I needed that energy. I don't want pityness. I just want people to believe in me and get mad, like, fuck you, bro, why the fuck. Even Jin now, back then Jin said it's gonna be okay, and right now he's just like, you say one more shit about your insecurity, you have to pay me $200. And I'm like, okay then, because from there you can see like, it's not
easy, you know. Let's not talk about being an artist, being a musician. Let's talk about being a human itself, you know. People will one day will get tired of things, and these, like, for me, insecurity, you're gonna get tired of it. I'm tired of it. I don't want to live with it. I have to change about it. I have to change it, because how long are you going to hide in this whole world being the person that you don't really want to be, you know? I understand. Also, I have a family member and who moved to other countries just because they can't be the person they are over here. So sometimes you just gotta, you know, understand. You gotta, I'm not saying about you being selfish, but if you can't love yourself first before anyone else, bro, you're just gonna keep on destroying yourself, because you're just gonna keep on giving them the attention, not to yourself. So that's why, if you're watching this right now, I'm not saying it's gonna be okay. I don't wanna say all that. I would say, great that you felt that way, because now you gotta know how you're gonna deal with it. You know, if you're very suicidal and you're watching this, I'm not saying it's gonna be okay neither, because things are never okay. If you realize, like, if you wake up any minute, things could fuck up just like that. But how are you gonna respond to that? How are you gonna take it? Are you just gonna straight get mad, or are you just gonna be like, hey, it's all right, fast forward, I still have a couple of days to live and fix the right things, you know? That's the advice that I could give, you know? That's why up until now, I've been telling my girlfriend, I want to give up making music. I have to be real with you. I ain't even touch a laptop. I don't want to touch all this shit. But the more I say that, the more I keep on doing it, because I know if I don't do it, then it's going to be a waste of time for me. I've been doing this since I was 13. What am I going to do next? You know? That's the way I see it. So, great you're in that position, bro. Like, or sis, I don't know how you feeling. I'm not saying it's going to be okay, but if it's not, it's not. But, you know, work things out. Let's be real with that, for sure. Because I know I'm not a fucking rapper, bro. I am a rapper, but I'm not your 24/7 rapper. I'm a fucking artist. I'm not, and I'm proud of that.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm capable of doing the things that I wanted. I know what I love. I know what to do. I'm not trying to stick to one. I'm a man of many things, too. I want to be the best of those things.
Ed Leaves is also a jack of many trades.
Yes, that's for sure. So I can't relate to what you're saying earlier, because for me, we don't have much time in this whole thing. Why don't we just give it a try to every single thing that we have?
You can relate yourself. So happy, man. So happy to be here. I hope you get a bigger break, man. You deserve it, bro. You deserve it. And I'm sure you will. This is like, if there was too many negative energy, here comes the positive energy to help you channel it to like a bigger thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Likewise, man. Sure.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Shout out to my brother. Little brother AB. He's a big fan of yours.
AB.
Yeah. Thank you, Elias. Elias on the blog. You know, the key takeaway today is appreciate.
It's been 3 years of that, bro.
Camilo podcast. Milo Fico, signing out.